Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We have a challenge before us. I love challenges. A lot of people avoid challenge, but I love challenges. Even my hobby of art, which I don't do very much of these days, but I always want to do something that I think I couldn't do. It's no fun for me to do something that's easy. And we have to translate this to where we are in the things of the Spirit at present. Because we could just drift and coast along up to faith camp. Or we can really understand the importance of this time. On Sunday, we moved up to another level. Or I did anyway. And some people would probably have seen another dimension that they hadn't seen in me before. In fact, I've been like that a lot of my ministry. Boldness of faith. God tells us again and again to be bold in our faith. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we simply expect God to do great things. But it's the way we get hold of God and allow Him to get hold of us. The kingdom of God is taken by people who are aggressive, violent even, the violent lay hold of God's kingdom. And that violence or aggression has to be expressed in prayer if we're to really get where God wants us to be. Camp is always a focal point because we take into camp whatever God is doing amongst us here. And it's not just a question of what I or Pastor Clive or the other speakers, where we are. I mean, that obviously is going to be of significance in what God does in the meetings. But it's the corporate anointing, it's the corporate dynamic, because the Spirit of God is to move not only in the main meetings, but all over the camp. And there needs to be a kind of revival of faith atmosphere over the whole camp. Now, God says, well, let me ask you a question, you know. What do you want when you come in here for an 8 o'clock? What do you really want? Just a nice time with God? To speak to you? Touch your life in some way? What do you want? Because He says He will grant the desires of our hearts. If you don't want anything, you're not going to get anything. If you don't have any desires for Him to fulfill, then 8 o'clock is going to be a bit samey and even frustrating because you feel you're not getting anywhere. Would it be possible for you to have an aggressive attitude, a determination? I'm going to meet with God, I'm going to get hold of God this morning, no matter what it costs me. But of course, if you have that attitude, it wouldn't be limited to the 8 o'clock. That's how you would be praying at home. That would be your attitude all the time, because we can't just put on another dimension of spirituality because we come in here for an 8 o'clock. So, you know, some of you might wonder why on Tuesdays when we have the keynote, we don't have the musicians. Let me tell you, if you're going to seek God, you don't have musicians. You don't have musicians when you're seeking God. When you're worshiping, yes, but not when you're seeking Him. All the times of revival that I've known, you know, we've been shut in with God, crying out to God. We've had musicians sometimes probably one of the best music groups in the country at that time, but they wouldn't even have their instruments with them because we were seeking after God. We weren't singing songs, we weren't worshiping. See, seeking after God is not the same as worshiping. It's great to worship the Lord, but God says in His Word, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. And that's not just singing with your whole heart or being dependent upon some group or other to lead us in a particular way. It's all to do with you and Jesus. David says in Psalm 119, I seek you with all my heart. You see, if we're going to have that boldness of faith, I know not all of you were there on Sunday morning, but if we're going to have that boldness of faith, you stand on God's word. That's point one. And you let God know you stand on His word. You let God know that you believe He is faithful and He cannot deny you. That if you stand on His word, He cannot deny you. Because He would be denying Himself and He would be denying His word. When you have that boldness of faith, you know the inheritance that you have in Christ, and you're coming and claiming that inheritance. And you're not going to be put off. It's not nice mealy-mouthed prayers and nice... It's determination, it's aggression. Some of you might have been surprised on Sunday morning. Let me tell you, when you're in revival, we would pray like that, with that aggression, for 2 hours before a meeting, and we'd be almost worn out, and then we'd have a meeting probably for 3 hours after that. But my goodness, didn't the Spirit of God move? Not because we'd sung songs so that the worship team was in tune for the meeting, but because the worship team and everybody else had been seeking God for 2 hours. Never mind the 2 hours, but what I'm saying is, you know, when the Spirit of God, when the anointing of God is upon you for His best purposes, that's what it's going to be like. The 2 hours seemed like 20 minutes, not 2 hours. Because when you're really meeting with God, time flies, doesn't it? It's as if you almost get out of time into eternity. So, what are we going to do these next few weeks? It's not going to be dependent on me. I'm going on holiday next Tuesday for a couple of weeks. I should be seeking God while I'm on holiday. Because for me, one of the great things about holiday is I've got more time to seek God. But I'm not saying that's what you've got to do, but what I'm saying is, just because I'm going to have a holiday, I can't switch off from what God wants to do at camp. As you know, I used to go to France for about 5 weeks now, but it wasn't all just holiday. In the mornings, I'd be praying, and Caroline would be doing likewise up until about midday, and then we'd have the rest of the day free. So we were shut in with God in the mornings, praying and writing and so on. See, the point is, we've got to keep our focus no matter what we're doing. And our focus isn't just our ministries. Our focus is what God wants to do amongst us. So, you know, are we really prepared to seek Him with all of our hearts? And are we hungry enough that we will be so determined that we will not let God deny us? You can't deny us, Lord. It sounds almost rude, doesn't it? To talk to God like that. Actually, He loves it. Because He realizes how serious we are. here's a group of my children that are really serious. They really stand on my word. They really believe in my faithfulness. They really will not allow themselves to be denied. I love it. I think if we could hear God speaking, that's what he would be saying. However, you see, there's a complementary truth that he also expects the same of us. That if we take him at his word, he's going to take us at our word. If we're going to stand on his faithfulness, he's going to say, well, what about your faithfulness? If we're really going to seek him with all of our hearts, then he's going to say, and what about your heart then? What's going on? What is the nature of your heart? And that's why in seeking God, meeting with God, there's a whole process of refining and that goes on within us. Not by looking at ourselves. That's the essential thing. Fatal. If you're seeking after God, it's fatal to look at yourself, because you're, as soon as you do that, you're not seeking after God. Your focus is on yourself and not on him. And this is where we have to get beyond all our desires. I warn you that the greatest difficulty of having a season of really seeking after God with all your heart is the enemy turns up the temperature. He turns up the opposition. And you'll find that he will be trying to get you to do anything and everything to divert your attention and your heart focus away from Jesus and onto yourself. So, what we were talking about on Sunday, I'm not going to preach the whole message again, but you see, if there's certain things, probably in all of our lives, that we have been praying about and asking God, and yeah, we've been persevering in prayer and all of that, but still we haven't seen these situations resolved. And that's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough for us. It's not good enough for God. It's not glorifying to him. If we're not in the place where he's actually doing the stuff we're asking him to do. I don't think the fault is with God. I think it's God saying, well, I want to take you to another level. I want to take you into the boldness of faith. I want you to take you into the place where you're going to appropriate all that I've given and all that I've done for you. Not sitting back passively, just waiting for something, but being determined to get after God and to get after everything that he has for us. So there's a heart attitude that lies behind all of this. I mean, we could go sailing into camp with what we've got now and we'd have a good camp. It would be good, because what God has been doing amongst us is good. But I don't think it would be the best. I don't think it would be what God is really intending for this year. And it's not all about camp, it's all about God and his purposes. But the significance of camp is we have the opportunity to impact the nation. Because you've got people coming from all over the nation, thousands of them. And they're going to go back. And we don't want them to share blessing. We would love there to be such a move of the Spirit of God that they would really take a move of the Spirit back to where they were. That things would just grow and develop around them because of the dynamic of what God was doing in their lives. And yes, we'd see great things happening at the camp, but it's not just about the camp, is it? The camp is like a springboard for everything that God is going to do in the lives of his people afterwards. I know a lot of people, it's their highlight, the highlight of the year. They long for camp and they say it sort of keeps them going for 6 months. And then they have the next 6 months looking forward to the next camp. But you see, that's not God's best, is it? Camp doesn't exist to just sort of keep people going spiritually. We want God to do something in the nation. We want Him to take us to another level, don't we? Don't we?
Yes.
So as good as things are now, you know, some people said to me over the years, you never seem to be satisfied. And no, I'm not. It's not that I'm critical, it's just I'm not satisfied when we're living at less than God's best. And at this moment, we're living at less than God's best. I don't know that I've experienced God's best, but I've certainly experienced a lot better than we're living in now. And I'm not being negative, because what we have is good now, but the good is the enemy of the best, isn't it? We can so often be satisfied, yeah, because everything's going fairly nicely, and God's on the throne, and we're His children, and He loves us, and we love Him. And it's all so nice. But there's a nation going to hell out there. Literally, going to hell. And what are we going to do about it? It's not just a question of us all becoming evangelists, because even if we were all evangelists, how many people would we reach between us? But get a move of God's Spirit, and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands will be saved from hell during these coming years. That's what I'm after. Praise God for all the one-to-one evangelism that goes on, the way we lead people to the Lord, because every person is precious. So, what am I going to do? I'm not sort of whipping you and saying, come on, get on with it. I'm just saying, oh, this is a matter of our hearts. Where are we in our hearts now? Are we really hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for more of Jesus, Lord? I'm not to be denied. I am not to be denied. And neither am I going to deny you. Because I know that if I respond to what you ask of me, you will respond to what I ask of you. We will reap what we sow. So, you know, whether it's here at the 8 o'clock, whether it's at home, wherever. Yeah, we need those times of just abiding in the Lord, receiving from Him and all of that. But we need to press through. That's the sort of traditional way of describing this. Pressing through with God. Pressing through to another place. Pressing through till you're closer to Him than you were before. It sort of signifies, doesn't it? The intent, I'm pressing through. And of course, when you press through, what happens is you get breakthrough. And you know, I hear people around here say, God is God of the breakthrough. Well, let's have some breakthroughs then.
Yeah.
Don't let's just say He's the God of the breakthrough. Let's have some breakthroughs. Because it's easy for us to know the language, but what we want is the reality of which the language speaks. So I'm determined to have a fresh breakthrough with God before faith camp. I would say in the last few weeks, I've had a series of breakthrough, I believe the correct plural is. Not breakthroughs, but breaks through. But whether we get the English right or not, it's the reality that we're after. and as significant as some of the things are that God has done in me, There's something much more significant that's got to take place. But what I'm trying to say to you this morning is it's not just a personal thing, you see, because we're a body, it's a corporate thing. And all my experience of revival has been a corporate thing. We have met with God corporately. Yes, we've had all, obviously, it's affected our personal relationship with God, but all the breakthrough have happened corporately. And God's people are together really seeking Him with all their heart. And you know, you can have a message like this and we could all stand up or get on our knees or our faces at the end of it and make a lot of noise. But that's not necessarily what we're talking about, is it? Because it's this heart thing. See, the only people that feed are the hungry. You can lay out for people a vast banquet, but if they're not hungry, they won't eat. Or they'll just peck at a few dishes. They're not hungry. And this is always the issue for us. Are we hungry? Are we hungry for more of God? Are we hungry for more of Jesus? Not just, do I want to know that God is dealing with issues in my life? He'll do with all that. But do I love Him enough to desire Him? Do you remember that word from Jeremiah that we've kicked about several times in the past? Who will devote himself to be close to me, says the Lord? That's a great question, isn't it? Who will devote himself to be close to me? Who's hungry enough to be close to me? Who really desires more of me? Who loves me so much? He'll be like Jacob, and he will not let me go till I bless him. See, Jacob, he was a right character, really, or actually he was a wrong character. There was hardly anything right about him. But he had that encounter with God because this aggression, that night when he was at Bethel, that aggression got hold of his spirit. And to him, it was like having a fight with God. Actually, it was God having a fight with him, if you see what I mean. But it brought him through to a place where he'd never been before and actually transformed his life. So that now we talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God says he will be known for all time by that title. But it was that aggression that turned everything around for Jacob, as far as his relationship with God was concerned. So, yeah, Lord, I'm taking you at your word. I'm standing on your word, on your promises, every promise you've given me, every promise you've given Kingdom Faith. I'm standing on your faithfulness. You cannot deny yourself. You cannot prove unfaithful to the promises that you've made. They have to be fulfilled. On Sunday, I said it with a lot more aggression than that. But this is where I'm at. You cannot say no, Lord. You cannot deny us. You cannot, because you are faithful. And I stand on the faithfulness of your word. I believe every promise that you've given. That's where it's at. But I know also God says, therefore, Colin, I expect you to be faithful to what I've asked of you.
It has to be mutual. And I can say to the Lord, Lord, even though I'm faithful, as you remain faithful. And he says, yes, but I don't remain faithful so that you can remain faithless. Because I want to reproduce myself in you. I've been much too nice for too long. I'm getting back where it matters. See, there's someone locked up inside you, and his name is Jesus. It's time to let him out. It's time to let him free. The one who cleared out the temple is in you. And it wasn't any mealy-mouthed Jesus when he cleared out the temple. Yeah, he's the humble one. Yes, he's the gentle one. He's the man of power. He's the man of authority. But he's the man who cleansed the temple. That same one. See, he looked what he saw in the temple. And he said, that's enough! That's enough. I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. You've made it a den of robbers. That's enough. And he acted with such authority, nobody stopped him. There were all the temple guards. Nobody intervened. It's when there's that boldness of faith. Nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop you. I said, nobody can stop you. Somebody once accused me of shouting in the sermon, and I thought to them, you've never heard me shout. You really haven't heard me shout. I know what shouting is. I know what crying out to the Lord is. You imagine a room full of people praying like I was just praying just then? That's revival. Everybody going full out for God. Can't put it on. It's either there within you or it isn't. But he's not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Eh? He's the ruler of the nations. He's the Savior of the world. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Humble and gentle of heart. But the cleanser of the temple. I think God's been doing a lot of refining of the temple, hasn't he? In these last few months. Now he wants the temple to be set on fire. Fire! Let me tell you, when your heart's on fire, you can't hide the fire. Fire is there within you. That's what God wants. He wants to inflame us with the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So where's the fire? Where is it? See, you don't get the right answers till you ask the right questions. I can remember way back 1970, you see, before the revival started in Luton. These are the kind of questions. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? Where were the miracles? Where were the healings? Because at that time, none of that stuff was going on anywhere, really, in any noticeable way. Where are these things? They're meant to be happening. Where are they? Ask the right questions. Get the right answers.
I need more fire. Don't you need more fire? I want more fire. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fire. Well, there's no point in me rabbiting on. Either you've got it or you haven't. Either you see the point or you don't. Either you're going to respond or you won't. I can't make you do anything. I can't force you to do anything. Wouldn't even try. But it's just an interesting time. Where are we going to go from here? Self-consciousness is a sin, of course, as you know, so we're not going to worry about what others will think of us if we really go for God when we're together, because we're really going for God when we're on our own. You might like to go for a walk and have a shouting time with God just to get some things out of your system, just to get some deeper release in your life. Because we contain so much, you know. We stifle so much. God wants the fire to come out and let the fire fall. Good old Salvation Army hymn, let the fire fall. My goodness, the fire did fall when the Salvation Army started. It was nothing like we see it being today. But that was General Booth, that the fire fall. And they impacted the nation at the time. And you know, when the Pentecostal revival started, it began in a church up in Sunderland. It has to be God. He always chooses, you know, places, Sunderland, Luton. I mean, he starts in the most unlikely places. Who would think that a move of the Spirit would begin in Sunderland? But in the church hall of the church where the move began, there's a plaque which reads, "The fire fell and burnt up the debt." Interesting, because I suppose they were probably seeking God because they were in a bad state, financially or anything. But anyway, they were seeking after God and the fire fell. And you see, when the fire falls, it burns up everything that is not of God, not just the debt. So, my heart cry, Lord, is that we take fire into the camp this year. And that during the camp, the fire does fall. And that everybody there gets baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. So that when they leave the camp, even the little ones, even the children, they go out with fire. They always go out blessing, they always go with a blessing, they always go out anointed, they always go out able to impact their fellow friends and things at school and so on. But they're going to go out with fire this year. Hallelujah. I remember one of my children led her RI teacher to the Lord and got her baptized in the Spirit. That's a good thing to do, you know, if you have an RI teacher at school. Yes, come on, let's see the fire. Let's experience the fire. Let's be full of the fire. But it all begins by desiring the fire. Amen. Come on, let's get to our feet. What do we do? Well, you just engage your heart with Jesus. You fix your eyes on Him and you get hold of Him and say, "Lord, I want you to get hold of me." Paul says to the Romans, that was, of course, from Isaiah. Paul says to the Romans, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That's the place where the Spirit wants to take us now. Beyond the understanding, to the place where the Spirit is groaning within you to bring you through to the place where God wants you to be. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God answers the prayer. I mean, to me, that sounded like a real prayer meeting. That's the kind of prayer meetings I'm used to. And I'm sure all of you will remember that I told you of the time in South Wales. We've been leading these big missions, seen revival in every place. God's word to us was we were to take revival into each one of these situations. And we came to the last night of this crusade in South Wales, and there'd been great blessing, lots of good things had been happening, but it wasn't quite that God breaking through in revival power. And you may remember we were in this used to be a graphite factory, and it was October, and there was this room where we and the team were meeting. It was freezing cold in there, but I was praying with such intensity because God had said, you know, we were to take revival into every one of these things, and the revival hadn't happened. I was desperate. And I mean, it was really a freezing cold room, but I was bathed in sweat. I was praying with such intensity. And I mean, it's the other guys in the room that told me what I was doing, because I was just spaced out really with the Lord. But they said, you were screaming at God. You were just shouting. You were screaming at him. And you remember I said that I saw the Lord, and he came and walked across a vision like this, and then he turned away, started to walk away, and I screamed out with even greater intensity, you can't go, you cannot go, you cannot leave us. And you remember he turned and he looked at me and he said, my people here do not want me. And he continued to walk away, so I screamed out with even greater intensity. And then he stopped and he looked at me and he said, for your sake I will tarry. That's not a word I would ever use normally, but it is a word that's actually associated with revival. That's why I always remember exactly what he said. For your sake, I would tarry. The only reason why I remind you of this is just a little while ago, I was praying, really getting hold of God. And I know some of you have got to go and do your responsibilities. And he repeated the vision. And I saw it exactly the same way. I saw the Lord walk across. But instead of turning away from me, he turned and looked at me. And then he came towards me and sort of lifted me up, because I was down before him, and embraced me. It was like a, I won't say a healing of the previous vision, because that vision had such impact that night. Revival broke out in that place. And people said, you know, this is what our parents described to us as the revival that was happening in the Welsh revival. Heard about it, but never really experienced it. Tonight we've experienced it. But that, you see, to me, what God did just a little while ago was so encouraging. But it comes out of this really seeking after God with all of our hearts. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, God is going to do that to all of us in the same, because he deals with all of us individually, personally. But what I am saying is this is a time for us to meet with God in ways that will not only transform us, but will lead to a blessing to the nations, like that scripture I've just read from Isaiah. So I tell you this to encourage you. And it's all right to scream and cry out to God. How many times does it say in the book of Psalms and elsewhere that we are to cry out to God? He hears the cries of those who seek him. Not just the genteel prayers, but the cries of the heart. He promises to answer the cries of the heart. So it would be great, wouldn't it, if every morning when we come in here, we have a prayer meeting like this. It would be different because the Holy Spirit does different things. But I mean, you know, we really are intent on meeting with God and persevering. I mean, that time in South Wales, I was praying for a couple of hours or more, but it doesn't all happen in just a few minutes, and it doesn't all happen just in one occasion, you see. The testing of our faith proves it's genuine. Are we really genuine in our desire to seek and meet after God? But my goodness, if we prayed like this right up until camp, I mean, camp's just going to be of another order. It's going to be of another order. That time in South Wales, we didn't have camps in those days. We started the camps about 3 years after that, I think. But if we'd had a camp that year, the revival would have broken out that year. But I'm concerned now not about the past, but what God is going to do this year. I've got lots of unfulfilled promises in my life and ministry, and I'm running out of years. But my God is faithful, and every one of those promises is going to be fulfilled. Amen. He is faithful. So I'm going to give it a go. And I trust you all are likewise. So we don't really want, you know, nice little word at 8 o'clock and all of us just sing a few songs. And remember what the Lord was saying to us a little while ago? Get out of the predictable. Get out of the conventional. You see, this morning hasn't been conventional, hasn't been the predictable 8 o'clock. It's had a touch of the Holy Spirit about us, about it. But just take to heart that word from Romans 8. But God takes us to the point where he himself is interceding for us with groans that words cannot utter. You get beyond words. The Holy Spirit does. And he searches our hearts because he knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Somehow, in that groaning, God's will gets established in our lives. It's amazing, but that's what happens. One of the most powerful, actually, some of you have been around for a long time, may remember Wilfrid Ly. He did come to Faith Camp 1 year. A tremendous man of God from Kenya. He's got a church of about 35,000 men. And he and I were speaking together at a conference somewhere else in Europe. And he did a session on groaning in the Spirit. And it's one of the most powerful prayer sessions I've ever experienced. What he said was, I've ministered in his annual conference in his church, which was amazing. He has 10,000 every Friday night praying all night in his prayer meetings. It's a praying church. But what he said in that session was, when you pray, you've always got to have an objective. If you don't have an objective, you can't pray with faith. Because faith always has an objective. So you set the objective and you pray through until the Spirit enables you to hit the objective. And he prayed about groaning in the Spirit. And I say, you know, often you can't get to your objective by praying with your mind. By just jabbering away in tongues for a few minutes. But the Spirit, you see, intercedes for us with words, with groans, because words, we get beyond the words. And he says, when the Spirit does that in you, you find that the Spirit, through that groaning, takes you through to the fulfillment of the objective. And at the end of his session, he said to everybody, there were, oh, I don't know, probably a couple of thousand people there, something like that, perhaps 1,500, 2,000, something like that. And he said to everyone, now, I want you to pray for one particular thing, one particular objective. And I just want you to let the Spirit work within you with groans. Well, it sounded a bit strange, all those people groaning in the Spirit. Because they did that. But my goodness, it was one of the most powerful times of prayer I have ever been in. Because you see, the Spirit himself was interceding for us with groans. Words weren't enough. And it's just a matter of understanding that the Spirit is the only one who can get us to the place where we need to be. We can't get there ourselves. We can't do it ourselves in our own strength, in our own way. It's the Holy Spirit. But we've got to be absolutely determined. And we're not going to let God go. We're just not going to let him go. We're not going to be satisfied with anything less than going into that camp with a reviving move of the Spirit. I refuse to go into that camp with anything less than that. I'm laying down a marker now. And I just trust that all of us will be of one heart and mind in that. So, Father, we bless you and praise you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.